Coming up from Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll.
I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep, meaning die, but we will all be changed. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
According to the Bible, a day is coming when a loud trumpet will signal the return of Jesus to gather his people. For those who know him, it will be a glorious day. For those who don't, it will be a tragic one. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his study through the book of Revelation. And in this next section, we'll examine Revelation 11 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, two passages where this event is described. When we comprehend the significance of the rapture, it will profoundly impact the choices we make today.
Locate, please, Revelation chapter 11, the last five verses, if you will, please. Revelation 11, 15 through 19. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened. And the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm."
To dig deeper into the book of Revelation with Chuck Swindoll, Insight for Living has prepared a Bible study workbook for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. To purchase this printed workbook for Act 1, go to insight.org/offer. And now the message from Chuck called "The Sounding of the Seventh Trumpet."
When it comes to future events, the Lord seems to prefer trumpets. Being an old saxophone player, I've often wondered why he wouldn't have wanted to use a saxophone or maybe clarinet, nice mellow tone, or maybe delightful strains from a cello or a bassoon, or maybe the bombastic sounds of a big tuba, or the pounding of the timpani, or chimes, beautiful chimes. But that's not the way the Lord prefers. He's into trumpets. Trumpets. Years ago, true story, at a Bible college, there was a very popular Bible class taught to freshmen every year. And it included truth regarding the future. Teacher happened to be an excellent student of prophecy and always took delight in allowing a little imagination to be added to what he taught, which always helps when you're on subjects like the coming of the Lord. However, he was true to the text, and he found himself with great delight in that section of 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, as you can imagine, these freshmen were on the edge of their seats as he talked about there will come a day when that final trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ, those who have died knowing the Lord Jesus, along with those alive on the earth, will be taken up to be with the Lord in the sky, in the air, to be forever with him, leaving on this earth those who are left behind to deal with the chaos and the confusion and ultimately all of the judgment that would come upon the earth. Well, the upperclassmen happened to know that particular day when the teacher was teaching that, so several of them got their heads together and decided this was the perfect time to carry out a practical joke on one of the nerds in the first year class who found himself rather skeptical of this teaching, and when they heard about it, they informed everybody but him that on that particular night, with the date given on the notice, everybody was to let him go sound asleep, and then all on the campus would leave. Everybody, as he slept. And they would leave faucets running in the bathroom, and lights on, and computers glowing on their desks, and beds unmade, of course. Even some planned to put cars in certain places along the streets of the campus with doors open, lights on, radio on. And then someone who had the voice of Michael the Archangel would stand in front of the public address system that fed the entire campus and would give a shout. And then first chair trumpet player from the band would step up, and he'd blow this trumpet. Perfect. The plan ran right on schedule. The campus was empty. Even some in the cafeteria that early morning hour who would normally be getting ready to prepare breakfast left the fire going under the skillet and left the sounds and sights of life, and nobody. As the trumpet blew, boom, this fellow sits up in bed. Not a soul is around. Steps into the bathroom. Faucet is running. In fact, a shower over in the corner is running and the door is open and no one is there. He looks outside and he sees down from the second floor several cars in the parking lot. Nobody there. Not a sign of life on campus. It was wonderful. I understand when the story was finally told and he got the word back that he didn't sleep very well for the next 3 weeks, thinking that might be the night. We have our fun with folks at times, and it is sort of a cute story, unless, of course, you're going to be left behind. And truth be told, more will be left than will be taken, because the Lord always does his work in a remnant. Most have never believed. And among the vast population of this earth, pushing now into the several billions, most don't know Christ. But that day will come when that hour will arrive, and there will be the voice of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet. And according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, those who have died in Christ will be brought back from the dead, and their souls that are now with the Lord Jesus will be joined with their now resurrected body and changed to live for eternity. And along with the dead being raised, we who are alive on the earth at the time of the arrival of Christ in the clouds We will be joined with them, and there will be this magnificent family reunion as we are taken forever to be with the Lord. What a grand thought that is. Unless, of course, you're not one of those. Really makes you think. And in case you are perhaps like the first-year student at the Bible College, in case you happen to be given to skepticism, let me tell you that if that is not going to happen, it's the first lie God recorded in His Word. And you and I know better than that. Just because you're ignorant of it doesn't mean it won't occur. From 1 Thessalonians, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 51. Very interesting twist on all of this. Same subject, just looked at from another angle, where Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery," 1 Corinthians 15, 51. A mystery. The Greek word mysterion, from which we get our English word mystery, does not really mean something that's a riddle that nobody can figure out. Mysterion is like our word secret. It's veiled until you know the answer, and then it's open and understood. "Behold, I tell you a secret." What does that mean? It means earlier than this moment, it was not known. The Old Testament prophets didn't know of the rapture of the church. The Old Testament saints didn't talk about the Lord coming for His own in the clouds to meet Him in the air. The Lord didn't tell us about, what about those who are alive on the earth at the time of His coming? That's shrouded in a secret until this time. He said, "I tell you a mysterion." And what is that? He says, "We will not all sleep," meaning body sleep, not soul. It's a good moment to stop and clarify. At death, there's a separation. When a person dies, there's a separation between the body and the spirit. We're made up of both. I'll let the book represent the body. I'll let this piece of paper represent the spirit. At the time of death, the body remains on the earth to be prepared for burial as the spirit or the soul goes immediately into the presence of the Lord and remains there in conscious state. Soul doesn't sleep, nor does the spirit. The body is now buried, or whatever happens to the body at death, it remains on earth. And the spirit, the soul, awaits the time when this event will occur. At the time of the event, there's a sound of the trumpet, there is the voice of the archangel, there is the return of the Lord Jesus in the clouds with us, bringing our spirits, if we have died before this event, and the body will be changed, as we're going to read, and made to last eternally, since our current bodies would not be able to do that. Our bodies bear the marks of age and wear and decay and the effects of sinfulness. But at the time of the future, when we are changed, we'll be given new kinds of bodies to go and be forever in a conscious state with our Lord Jesus as events begin to unfold on this earth. I'll get to that in a moment, but look at the change in 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep," meaning die, "but we will all be changed. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." That's like light flashing across the pupil, quicker than a wink, the flash of an eye. "At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised," look at the word, "imperishable, and we will be changed." The body will be changed. Its entire molecular structure will go through a change so that it becomes like the body of the resurrected Christ. Remember, able to pass through matter, space, even time, instantly, since it is in a supernatural state. Study the resurrected body of Christ and you'll understand your own future resurrected body. Conscious, able to eat, able to communicate, able to move about, able to think, but ageless, timeless, changed. In fact, Paul uses the word must twice in verse 53. This perishable must put on the imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. And when this perishable will have put on the imperishable and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? Paul didn't get that from Shakespeare. Shakespeare got that from Paul. And the death is no longer, death is no longer an enemy. In fact, death vanishes. And this resurrected body is built, reconstructed, and changed to last eternally. What a great concept, what a great truth. Those who have died are not forgotten, they are raised and changed. We who are alive and remain are raised and changed as well as these. And 1 Thessalonians tells us the dead will go first and then we will follow and we will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Some will be driving cars, some will be flying airplanes. Some will be working on their studies at school. Some will be sitting listening to a radio program or watching television. Some will be sound asleep. Some will be at the office or the shop working. But there will be an immediate, sudden change that will come over the whole world as the believers in Christ are taken up, leaving only the unbelievers on earth. William Hendrickson writes, "The trumpet blast in this connection is certainly very fitting. In the old dispensation, when God came down, as it were, to meet with his people, this meeting was announced by a trumpet blast. Also, the trumpet was used as a signal of Jehovah's coming to rescue his people from hostile oppression. It was the signal for their deliverance." He continues, "From all this, it becomes abundantly clear that the Lord's coming will be open, public, not only visible, but also audible. Scripture was written to be understood, and when it tells us that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, it certainly must mean at least this, that in addition to the shouted command of our Lord, a reverberating sound will actually pervade the universe. This is God's trumpet." And what will happen on earth? Well, of course, there will be shock, there will be grief, there will be confusion, there will be chaos, a number of accidents. There will be an unexplainable and inexplicable series of events that will happen to those who are left behind. Some will remember messages like this that were preached but not believed. Some will recall books they've read or stories they've been told about such an event, but nevertheless, reality will set in quickly. And to make matters even more difficult and complicated, the judgments will begin on the earth. Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 19 covers that period of judgments. If you forget that, you will be woefully confused in trying to unravel the complicated unveiling of Revelation. 6 through 19 has to do with judgment. All of it yet future. none of it to be dreaded by the Christian today. We are taken up, and then the judgments begin to run their course. And they come in three phases. First, there will be seals broken as the scroll of judgment is unrolled. We've read of that. There will be seven seals broken. The seventh will open or cause the sounding of seven trumpets that will be sounded. And then there will come the bowls, the worst of the three, a series of seven, three sevens, seals, trumpets, bowls. And Revelation describes all of this in symbolic, sometimes very difficult to understand terms. The part we can't understand, we leave alone. The part we can understand, we hope to clarify and communicate. From 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, turn back, and in doing so, you're going to be turning ahead in time. So let's go back to the future as we go to Revelation 11, and we've come to the seventh of the seven trumpet judgments. It's a very unique section of Scripture. Now, I've said with the sounding of the seventh trumpet, there is the beginning of the pouring out of the bowls, but it's not instant. There's a period. It takes a while to get to the bowls. They come in chapter 16. So between the 11th and through the 15th chapters, we're given a number of scenes yet future that will be a part of the judgment time. Not until you get to chapter 16, however, will you read of the ultimate in judgment, the bowls, which lead ultimately, finally, to Armageddon, the final battle. Now, this is unique because in chapter 11, beginning at verse 15, what we have, don't miss this, is a full panoramic unveiling of Revelation 12 to 22 in five verses. John is given in this brief span of time, this first vision at the seventh trumpet, sort of a mural of events. If you've ever been to the San Jacinto Monument, here in our great state of Texas, you have walked around the main floor and you've seen the mural in color of the history of the state, that which led up to the battle and then on beyond that to where we are. And the artist carries it as far as he could. Now, what we have in Revelation 11, 15 to 19 is a panoramic mural of events. And what makes it also unique is that it's written as though it has already happened. It's put in the past tense, even though it's all yet future. Now, you are completely confused. I hope not. Just remember, when you read of something having been done, it is yet to happen, but in John's eyes, it's done. Because when you move into the realm of heaven, all of life is a panorama. You see everything from the beginning to the ending. That's why everything will ultimately work together for good, because you see the tapestry as it unfolds.
Chuck Swindoll is helping us unravel the mysteries of Revelation chapter 11. He titled his message, "The Sounding of the Seventh Trumpet." This passage provides an alarming picture of God's coming judgment. And here at Insight for Living, we know that for some, this topic stirs up fear. It's unpleasant to think about a future world where God unleashes his wrath on those who've denied him. Plus, these studies in Revelation seem to connect with what's taking place in our world at this very moment. With wars being fought in several countries and all sorts of cultural confusion here at home, it begs the question, are we living in the end times? Well, Chuck Swindoll wrote a booklet for those who battle with fear. It's called, How Can I Win Over Worry? You know, the fears we nurture are often rooted in worries about the future. This kind of fear undermines our confidence in God's plan. Let us send you a copy of Chuck's booklet called, How Can I Win Over Worry? We'd be pleased to do so when you give a contribution to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Just go to insight.org. In closing, let me underscore that your voluntary donations are truly making a difference. I saw a note from a gentleman in his 60s that had recently lost his wife. He said, "Chuck, at times I'm indescribably alone and lonely. Sometimes I struggle to fight off the woulda, coulda, shouldas. God has used you in a mighty way to teach me and encourage me." You know, when you give to Insight for Living, God is using you to touch lives like this one. To partner with us by giving a donation, call us at 800-772-8888. Or you can send a gift through the mail by writing to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or give online at insight.org/donate. You've enjoyed hearing Chuck Swindoll's message on the Insight for Living broadcast. And now you can study the Bible alongside Chuck using the same outline he uses. Based on the principles in Chuck's book called Searching the Scriptures, each program is paired with an online resource called Searching the Scriptures Studies. They're absolutely free, and you can use them online or download the PDF files and print them out. In fact, make copies for your small group if you wish. Each study will guide you through the biblical text of the current broadcast, show you how to glean profound truths from God's Word, help you understand, apply, and communicate God's Word, and give you simple Bible study steps anyone can follow. Chuck's goal is to help you experience the joy of searching the Scriptures on your own. He says it's like preparing a good meal and then sitting at the banquet table of God's Word. So, what are you waiting for? Access the free materials at insight.org/studies. Again, that's insight.org/studies. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe the sounding of the seventh trumpet, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Sounding of the Seventh Trumpet, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.